It's time for the wrestling show to take a very cynical look back at representing the WWE and live from the Frostbank Center in San Antonio, Texas. It's Monday Night Hurrah! Air date, March the 4th, 2024. This episode is the Road to WrestleMania! So, let's go in...
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Let it really wrestling. He likes to talk about it too. If you like to watch wrestling like he do, come and join us on the wrestling show. On the wrestling show.
Wellbo, welcome to the Wrestling Show. I'm your most fickle host, Lip Hazelwood, and this is a very cynical look back at your latest episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we dive into the show, just a quick shout out to the non-competitors. They are the glue that holds the building together, as you should know. Now, first and foremost, I'm representing the authority figure, the general manager. It's Adam Pearce. Next, getting all the pre-match interviews and all the backstage scoops, they are the team of Kathy Kelly and Jackie Redmond. And of course, heading into the ring, we got ourselves the officials, the referees, and a team of referees tonight. They are Chad Patton, Danilo Amphibio, Daphne Lachon, Eddie Arango, and Rod Zapata. And of course, letting everybody know who's about to fight and results of such matches. It's Samantha Irving. And last, but certainly not least, it's the commentary crew. The play-by-play guys, the hosts, and I call them the narrators of the whole damn show. They are the team of, the longtime veteran of over 25 years. It's Michael Cole. And backing up Michael Cole, he is a very rambunctious, he is a very enthusiastic man. They call him Mr. Football. It's a Pat McAfee. Now, without any further kadoos, let's get started with the big shoe. The shoe. I guess we got lots happening today in the show. With a big whopping, walloping seven matches. All the champions are accounted for. They're showing up for today's big shoe. But we start off with the rebuttal. That's right. Now it all started with Cody Rhodes challenging. The Rock to a match, and then The Rock changes the game. Asks a different question. Danny challenges Cody Rhodes to a match. So right now we got something huge. That's right.
Wrestling is more than one. Family.
More than one, and I think Ross should know that too. If Ross brings some all out in a bag of potato chips, they come down to the ring. Take your time. Come down to the ring.
I got a rumbling in my bowels, and I think I'm gonna blow. There's a bathroom stall, I'm finally here. The toilet's there, I'm about to blow. I ate 5 tacos before the show. Shut the door and I sit down on the throne. Oh, whoa, I was never party trained. When I was younger, my father was never there. I did a perfect day, don't have to do lingerie. I told my mother, and if he's here today, I would proudly say, I would have told my father, I'm a big boy now. Don't need no diapers now. Don't need to buy any more of the pain. I got my freedom.
Oh, Cody Rhodes. Now, I've got to say, not just his song is great, but Cody Rhodes is being booked perfectly. Because Cody Rhodes is a man who loves to be loved. He needs to be loved, I should say. But he's booked in such a perfect angle against the man, the crushing oppression of The Rock and the Bloodline. And the Bloodline! So the Cody Rhodes comes out there to address the situation. And it's, San Antonio, what do you want to talk about? No, he doesn't deliver it like that. But maybe he should. What would you like to talk about? Anyways, he wants to talk about this moment in WrestleMania versus Roman Reigns and whatnot. And The Rock's challenge and stuff like that. And he talks about the Roman Reigns on SmackDown, talking about him insulting the crowd and whatnot, and his own dog wasn't off the dog's Rock's hit list. The Rock, if you smell, people love The Rock, you know, Dwayne The Rock, Vin The Rock Diesel, because they look similar these days. They look a lot alike these days. Anyways, besides the bat, now. He's talking about that, all what's going on, and the path of maybe he needs to have some clarity about Seth Rollins offering his help to, take out the Bloodline. So he calls out Seth Rollins. You know, Seth Rollins comes out there, and Seth Rollins, all the crowds love him. Whoa. That's right. Seth Rollins comes out there, and so it's like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And he says, what do I want to talk about? And now, Cody Rhodes, now, here's the thing. Cody Rhodes has an understanding what's going on at WrestleMania. Not only does Cody Rhodes have his plate full, he's got a big match coming up against Roman Reigns, the absentee champion. And, of course, he understands that Seth Rollins has to defend his championship belt against Drew McIntyre. So this is it. He's giving Seth Rollins an out. You don't need to help me. Listen, I understand if you can't get my back at WrestleMania because you got other things to got. You got big things on your mind. And I can understand if you do not have my back. And Seth Rollins, you know, the thing about Seth Rollins, he talks about the thing about, it's easy. He says he can handle. He can handle Drew. Don't worry about Drew. The thing is, the whole thing is about taking out the Bloodline, because with The Rock in the Bloodline's corner, they could be completely unstoppable, and they must be stopped. So if they're not stopped, not only your story, but our story will never have an ending. Even though Seth Rollins, he finished his story many times. This is just icing on the cake. I mean, he's a multi-time champion, let's face it. You know? So his story, you know, he's been champion. Cody Rhodes, his story hasn't been complete yet. He has not touched that golden ticket. You know, like a lot of wrestlers, their stories never finish. Anyways, regardless. So it's time to take out the wet blanket of Roman Reigns, and he's willing to do it. So he talks about, he's talked about The Rock. Now, does he talk? It's hilarious. They're talking about what happened. Now, he's talked about The Rock. He doesn't deserve to be called The Rock or the People's Champion, because he hasn't been doing anything for like years and years. So, you know, he hasn't been cool for like 20 years, he says. You know, basically, what should The Rock be called? What is his new name? Why, how about Diarrhea Dwayne? I'm assuming having a bebé in his life, is changing his perspective on life. You know, it's like, wow, man, baby diarrhea is terrible. Man, that would be great diarrhea. Regardless, because Dwayne Johnson, he's been spewing a lot of BS around there, talking about, being the boss and making Seth Rollins' belt obsolete and whatnot. Anyways, he says the news is Seth Rollins is 100% cleared. And at 100%, man, he's ready for to face the Bloodline at SmackDown. So SmackDown. Roman Reigns and The Rock are going to go to another show. Wow. They're doing some serious heavy lifting now. showing up to work. Wow. So anyways, it comes down to this. Cody Rhodes, like, now, do we got each other's back? Comes out. Do we have each other's back? Now, taking on the Bloodline, yeah, they got each other's back for sure. So moving on. So yeah, they look like they're very looking forward to taking out the Bloodline in order to move on with their own personal business. But yeah, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins got a very busy WrestleMania. Good thing it's 2 days. They got a whole night to recover. Anyways, moving on. Proper way. Now we start with our very first match, and this one here was a banger. A banger. This was really good. This was representing the Judgment Day. It's Dominic Mysterio. And representing Imperium, it's Gunther. Now, of course, I believe JD McDonagh is with Dominic Mysterio these days. JD McDonagh. Nowhere is, Mommy. Rhea Ripley. The den mother of Judgment Day. They used to be, tied at the hip. Mm-hmm. No longer. Now, JD is now the new Mommy. So in this match here, it's Daphne Lachon is the referee. This match was also about, under 10 minutes. Under 10 minutes. About 9.5 minutes. It was a match of the night. This was great. I mean, Gunther, one of the best out there. He is right now, 622 days and counting as Intercontinental Champion. He's great. He is a future Hall of Famer for sure. Dominic Mysterio, he's fought almost all the best. Now he's fighting Gunther. Yeah, this was good. Now, of course, in this match, one thing got me. It was Pat McAfee. Now, before Pat McAfee, he was condescending. He'd be talking to Gunther. And then Gunther scared the holy bejeebus out of, was it Pat McAfee? Now he's like on top of the table. Yes, Gunther, you're my hero, my liege, my... I don't know, he's like going overboard. Is he being patronizing? If I were Gunther, I would say yes, he's being very patronizing towards you. You know, how dare he mock you in such a way? Saluting you in such a way, how dare he? Anyways. In this match here, of course, JD McDonagh at Dominic's side. And, Dominic Mysterio, great wrestler. Great mind for wrestling. He's a multi-generational wrestler. So he's seen it all. He can do it all. He can literally do it all in the ring. The only thing that I say about Dominic, he looks like a very tall, looks like a 12-year-old boy. Seriously. Yeah. The stature. That's about it, though. But inside a match. Now, that's the only bad thing to say. I don't even know why I brought that up. But it did. Keep it in. So in a match here, Dominic Mysterio. And I say it because Dominic Gunther is such a larger guy. Dominic, he's got maybe 75 more pounds on Dominic, maybe 50, who knows. But he's a visually larger man, you know. And inside the match, it's JD McDonagh taking full advantage of his presence there and blocking off Gunther from chasing down Dominic Mysterio outside the ring, giving Dominic some time to recover. Now, inside the match here, now they do the situation where, I guess they're trying to put a handicap on Gunther, where Gunther gets very angry at JD and tries to give him a chop. Oh, goes to the chop and JD moves out of the way. And Gunther chops the ring post. Like a so. I think, oh no, he broke his hand for sure. He broke his hand chopping that thing. But he didn't say that. And then Dominic takes Gunther's hand and slaps it onto the ring post again. One more time. I'm thinking with that, does that bear me something? Is that going to be something? Nope. Ends up this whole hand, bit didn't amount to anything. It didn't amount to a hill of beans. So the match was on. This was pretty good. It was very, very stiff. Dominic Mysterio was bringing it with some good old slaps. Chest up. I couldn't believe Dominic Mysterio was slapping the holy hell out of Gunther as best as he could anyways. Now, in real life, they both... Yeah. Anyways, Gunther returns to big old slaps. He even rips open Dominic's... he wears his, a vest shirt, Rips it open so he gives some more painful slaps on the chest. It was pretty good. Pretty... Like I say, this match was hands down match of the night. Now, of course, in this match, when Gunther was taking over, taking charge, JD McDonagh jumps on the ring apron. And Gunther takes his eye off the prize, and it carries on. The match carries on. You know, Dominic Mysterio, with a massive tope, takes out, with a high cross, takes out Gunther from outside the ring. Gunther turns things around again. Turns Dominic inside out with a massive clothesline. Now, apparently, Gunther could have ended the match here with a massive power clothesline. But, however, while the referee, Daphne was counting, Dominic's head was pulled up by Gunther. And surprising that, the match wasn't quite over there because Dominic had one more go in him. One more go. And, Gunther tried to go for a powerbomb. Dominic did the sunset flip right over top of him and give him a roll-up. I was like, wow, Dominic turning things around. And he shakes off all those, whatever happened before, you know. And he comes at Gunther with a massive 619, baby. That's right. Rolls him over. Tries to go for a splash, his big old five-star frog splash. Gunther rolls out of the way. Now, Gunther, he puts things away for sure. Dropkick to Dominic, right in the chest. Dominic drops down, and then a power la bomba, whammo! One of the greatest power bombs in the business. Gunther power bombs the holy hell out of Dominic Mysterio. This match was great. This match was a good, good match. I enjoyed it greatly. Now, after that, he didn't go to forward pin. He flips Dominic over and goes for the massive Boston Crab, bending Dominic in half. Now, he just barely steps into the Boston Crab where Dominic Mysterio is tippity-tippity-tapping. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Like, you can just almost hear the music coming out of Dominic Mysterio. No, whoa, 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 whoa. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Gunther with a big old win. Huge win for Gunther. And then we go backstage with Adam Pearce. And, talking to Damage Control, or what's, you know, it is the Japanese connection, Asuka, Kairi Sane, Io Sky with the translator, I guess the new leader. It's, what's that, Dakota Kai. And Adam Pearce like, what are you troublemakers doing here in Raw? And Dakota's like, well, you know, these two are the tag team champions, so they got right to go anywhere. And Adam Pearce like, yeah, well, they have every right to be here, but what about you and Kairi Sane? Kairi Sane might be a champion, but she's the SmackDown champion. You? Why are you here? But he didn't say any of that. Anyways, while they're basically checking out some competition, probably future competition in Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. And with that said, we got ourselves some Shinsuke Nakamura. Looking for second place prize. Because after all, him and Sami Zayn, they got no chance at the World Championship gold. So, it is Shinsuke asking Adam Pearce for an opportunity of a lifetime again. And so Adam Pearce, he's got some big news. He wants to talk about, you know what, he's got some big plans. He wants some big plans for the Intercontinental Championship. So he's got to let everybody know later on tonight what his big plans are to be. Now with that said, we go with Kathy Kelly. And she's with Team Teeny Tiny, Team Teeny Weeny. They are the team of Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. And they just want to get back in the picture. They are the former champions, former women's tag team champions. They want to get back in the picture. So with that said, we go to our next match. And it is, they're going to, it is our pre-match entry, basically. So this match is between the team Kaden Carter and Katana Chance, Team Teeny Tiny, versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, Team MMA. I say that because they have the fighting. They got the fighting in them, so to speak. So this one here, this match was about 6.5 minutes. 6.5 minutes. The referee in this match was Rod Zapata. And I got to say, Damage Control ended up joining the match ringside. I guess all sitting on the old commentating table, posing like they're from the movie Mean Girls. Like Mean Girls. Anyways, they're checking out the competition, and hopefully they don't interfere with the match. Otherwise, Adam Pearce will be very upset and might have to drop some fines. Got to get all scrappy and be the daddy in the situation. Anyways, this match here, we got a situation. It was very interesting. I really enjoyed it. Now, Michael Cole, like me, I understand sometimes you say the wrong thing and you don't really mean it, you know. And Michael Cole did it again. There, it is the team, Caden Carter, contend chance to get, they get a massive, what's that, Spanish fly. They get a double Spanish fly done on Zoe Stark. And it was, Michael Cole calls it a suplex. Look at that, a superplex. It was a superplex. Pat McAfee's like, yeah, that was actually a double Spanish fly. There was a double Spanish fly, my friend, my man. It's like, well, let's check it out again. And he showed it. It's like, I was right, you fool. So yeah, it was good that Michael Cole called out, or Pat McAfee called out Michael Cole's mistake. You know, something I'm sure, I know, Wade Barrett never ever did. You know, there was many times where he could have. Anyways, moving on. After that, there was a big move. Supposed to be a big move. It's Zoe Stark on a massive, she's on her shoulders, a fireman's carry. And then Katana Chance is on top ropes. And she jumps over top of the whole team. She jumps over them. And just to give, you know, Shayna Baszler a Hurricanrana, a big move. So she jumps off top. To jump. It's like a lot of parkour there. A lot of ninja warrior stuff going on. And then she hurt Karana's Shayna Baszler outside the ring. Would that come in play later on? No. Now it's time to finish the match. It's Caden Carter with the old neck breaker onto, Zoe Stark. And there's a Katana Chance out of top rope with a massive 360 splash. Now she hits it and she goes for the pin. But however, it is Shayna Baszler outside the ring still. And she pulls Katana Chance off of Zoe Stark. And the referee, you know, I guess he's too busy counting and turning. Oh, it's only two. Doesn't bother checking what's going on. Sees that Zoe, she's that. The referee doesn't bother seeing that, you know, Katana Chance was pulled off. He just noticed that, oh, Katana Chance just, she just decided to slide off? Anyway, it's so weird. So he decides to investigate this situation no further and decide to tell the timekeeper's area it was only a two count. So it's weird. So while he's doing that, Shayna Baszler finishes her thing by collecting Katana Chance and punching her directly in the face. In the face! Referee didn't see a thing. You know, he was too busy telling the timekeeper how many counts he got. After that, Shayna Baszler, she pulls out Caden Carter with the Karafuna clutch. She tries to drag her right outside her ring. And that's when Katana Chance tries to save her partner by trying to pull her into the ring. But behind Caden Carter, or behind Katana Chance, it is Zoe Stark with a massive schoolgirl roll-up with a textbook perfect matchbook pin, pinning the teeny opponent down to 1, 2, 3. And it is Shayna and Zoe Stark with a big victory. Now after that, we got ourselves a little bit of the damage control going face to face. Now they didn't do any beating down of the Katana Chance and Caden Carter, you know. It's basically a showdown now about what's going on. Who's going to be the new tag team champions? If there is going to be new tag team champions. WrestleMania. There's a good possibility we have new tag team champs. It is Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. They've been working very, very hard. Very, very hard to get to this point. And perhaps it's time that, they become the champions. Because I think they could be very worthy champs. Fighting champs. They got a lot to prove. They got a lot to prove, these two. Now, after that, we go straight to another match. It is, go backstage with Judgment Day, you know. The entire day of Judgment Day, including Rhea Ripley. And it's Damian Priest. He's wants to set things right. He needs to set things right with Imperium. So, basically, it's Finn and Damian Priest. He says they got to deal with, make things right with Giovanni and Ludwig Kaiser and JD McDonough. He's got his personal responsibility to take it up with Gunther. And JD's like, with me? Anyways, and then Andrade comes in there and comes into the back off area there. And he's like, see you soon. Good luck. And it's completely broken up English to Dominic Mysterio. So perhaps he is looking forward to becoming a new member of a Judgment Day. So anyways, after that, we go to the ring with the big women's match. It is Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, the rubber match. Now, this one here. Becky Lynch, every time, I always say this. Now, Becky Lynch, she's a hustler. She likes to hustle. She's a top-rated competitor. She knows how to wrestle. She's been in the business for many, many years. So all her matches are really good. Now, only thing about Becky, I mean, something's going on with Becky. Every time I see her, she's looking skinnier and skinnier. More gaunt every time. It's shocking. Now, right now, with this match, actually, leaving last time they fought, Becky Lynch is legitimately the size of a Nia Jax leg. And Nia Jax was basically, this is Nia's fighting a nuisance. She's fighting a nuisance. Now, Nia Jax did all the work in this match. Now, wasn't Nia Jax doing all the selling, this would have been ridiculous looking. She could have, Nia could have literally batted, Becky Lynch out of the way with all her aerial assaults. Just slapped her away with ease. But this match was fun. Was a lot of fun. When it came down to it. The size and power and youth versus Becky Lynch. Power being, gaunt and sinewy. So, yeah. No matter what Becky Lynch did, she gets caught and just manhandled. But no manhandle slam. Now, Becky Lynch does turn things around. She knows she's intelligent. She uses her intelligence. So she goes for a shoulder tackle onto Nia Jax's back of her knee. So, if you can't walk, if you can't move, you can't win, right? Theoretically. Now, here's the thing. Becky Lynch, she's got, I think right now in her career, she has a lot of good intentions. Good intentions. Now, Becky Lynch, she loves to go to the top rope. She's not considered a luchador, but she loves to go to the top rope. In every match, she makes a conscious attempt to do a top rope maneuver, and this is no different. It's very dangerous, too. I couldn't believe it. She goes to the top rope, and she does a drop kick, and usually her drop kick goes completely horizontally. She gets no vertical. Sometimes she goes even lower. This was crazy, because she goes for a drop kick, and she goes so low, she basically drops in front of Nia Jax. But because of Nia Jax's great selling, she almost looks like she almost threw herself out of the ring. It was great. Nia Jax, you're great. Now, Nia, I couldn't believe it. Becky Lynch, she could have been destroyed. Broken ribs, maybe even the sprained ribs with this. Outside the ring, Becky Lynch tries to go for some sort of move. She gets caught, and she gets more dropped outside the ring. Pretty impressive. But they go back in the ring. And Nia Jax, with I call the career shortener for the person who's doing the move, she goes off the second rope with a massive leg drop perfectly placed on Becky Lynch. That should have ended it, but it didn't. Becky strives on through. Now, another dangerous one. Now, a move that's very, not just dangerous, but it's your skill level has got to be like really high skill level move. It's called the Molly Go Round, which is the 360 sit down Santon. So she tries, Becky Lynch goes top rope, and she does tries to do the Molly Go Round. And because Becky Lynch can't get any vertical height, she just gets, she looked like, looked like Kairi Sane with whatever she tried to do against, with Asuka against Bayley. She's on the top rope, and she basically does a 360. She jumps off the rope, and she barely gets around. She gets around barely. She gets no height, and she's like, I guess, barely catches. It's basically this. Nia Jax has to catch, Becky Lynch, or it could go horribly wrong. But it almost did. Almost did go horribly wrong. Now, instead, Becky Lynch taking a back bump. She holds on. She gets tight. She doesn't relax and trusts nature, trusts the motion, trusts the fall. Becky does not like taking back bumps. So, like usual, she doesn't take the back bump. But, however, when she does land, she lands on her tailbone. It's some crazy stuff. And it looks like she compacted her spine pretty badly, Becky Lynch. Hopefully she's all right. After that, she gets some more drop. Once again, not friendly to Becky's spine. And after that, it's, Nia Jax tries to finish it all with the Annihilator. Becky Lynch moves out of the way. Becky Lynch then tries to get the old disarmer. Disarmer turns into a regular armbar. Nia Jax gets out of the ring, rolls out of the ring, bringing Becky Lynch with her, using Becky Lynch as a sack of feathers, because she's basically as heavy as a sack of feathers, you know, an 88-pound sack of feathers, and smashes her, whammo, against a barricade wall. She throws Becky Lynch back into the match, and then that's when it happens. Wham! Sneak attack! It's Liv Morgan from the crowd, jumping a la Becky Lynch style on Nia Jax, when Nia Jax was fighting Liv Morgan. So yes, the match stops right then and there. This was about 11 minutes, and did I mention Danilo Anfibio was a referee in this match, so he called a disqualification. And then in the ring, we got ourselves Liv Morgan. She's mouthing off to Becky Lynch. Now, how does it feel? How does it feel? And Becky Lynch is like getting all upset. And they got like upset with each other. So they start bickering back and forth. And then Nia Jax gets the last laugh. Who laughs best laughs last. Who laughs last laughs best. Is that right how they say? I'm not sure. But Nia Jax pulls out Liv Morgan. She slides out on her face. Oh, ammo. Becky Lynch tries to, she tries to jump at her. She gets caught, and she gets, from a fireman's carry. Becky Lynch gets put in fireman's carry and tossed off like she was rubbish. Like she was rubbish. You know? And then she gives attention to Liv Morgan again with the massive leg drop outside the ring. Now, even though the outside of the ring, there's about maybe 4 to 5 inches of high-tech foam outside the ring, covering the hard, hard concrete. It still doesn't have so much give. So I'm looking at this. Nia Jax, she throws another leg drop outside the ring, even though, like I say, it's on the foam, the high-tech foam. It still can't be good for your back. Still can't be good on your back. And you can tell, first thing Nia did was clinch her back. Oh, my back! No! No, whoa. She didn't say that, but she wasn't that much pain, but you can tell it bothered her. Anyways, now we got ourselves Adam Pearce backstage with Ricochet. A wait for the Ricochet. Haven't heard of him for a long time. Ricochet is doing, being a good boy, you know, doing what he's told, not ruffling any feathers, where he should be, really. If Ricochet wants to, be in a picture, he's got to, if you want to be a champion, you attack the champion. So then he's, you're like, that's it. You can't attack me. I challenge you to a match for my belt. Anyways, comes down to Adam Pearce. He's got some big intercontinental title plans, and he needs to talk to a bunch of people. He needs to get this thing done. And then, of course, it's JD McDonagh and Judgment Day, and now they want in too. And of course, Adam Pearce will, clearly he's going to do something. And now after that, we got Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan back there. And Becky's very upset with Liv because Liv was just getting revenge for what happened to her, losing the match through, the interference that Becky Lynch caused. And it comes down to this. She's mad because, when Becky Lynch did it, when I did it, I did it because I didn't like her. I didn't like Nia Jax. You did it despite of me. Different things. And so angry. Now, it's a challenge. I guess it's Liv Morgan wanted all along. A match with Becky Lynch, and it is. So next week, Becky Lynch, she challenges Liv Morgan to a match. And when she said that, we got ourselves your Women's Raw Champion, your world champion, Rhea Ripley, just heard all that, what happened. And all she can do is laugh at Becky Lynch's misfortunes. Ooh, what you gonna get into? Now we go with Adam Pearce with some big news. Big news. Now, basically it's this. Adam Pearce talks about the Intercontinental title, its legacy, and its new champione. And basically it's who's going to be the next challenger for Gunther. So it's going to be next week. It's ridiculous. It's going to be a six-man, gauntlet match. A six-man gauntlet match. It's going to be a gauntlet match with six men. And who's going to be involved with this one here? It's going to be Sami Zayn, Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bronson Reed, and J.D. McDonough, and Chad Gable. Now, it sucks for that because whoever starts the match, who's one and two, will be... Your odds of winning the whole thing is very slim. Very slim because you got to work so damn hard. So damn hard. You're going to be so booker, tuckered out. You know, it has been done before, but it's your likelihood of, if you're starting the whole thing off, the likelihood of you winning is very, very slim. Very slim. Anyways, moving on. Moving on. And we got ourselves El Idiolo, the re-debut of Andrade. Now, Andrade, his opponent for today is Apollo Crews. Now, Apollo, he went down NXT. He did nothing down NXT, and he moved back to the main roster, which he's been done nothing since. Now, this is the first time we've seen him in months and months and months. I'm thinking, now, clearly, Apollo Crews is going to lose this match. And it sucks to say that, because Apollo Crews is a jobber. It's like, who wants to do this thing? Now, only thing Apollo Crews can do is doing his best work to lose. And that he's been doing his entire life. So it's ridiculous that he's in the same situation that he's always been in. The push guy. The push guy. I think Apollo Crews' next career is a Le Mans coach. Anyways, this match was about 3.5 minutes. The referee of this match is Daphne Lachaume. Daphne Lachaume in a 3.5 minute match. This is big. We got ourselves. It's now this match here. This was now Andrade. His last big promotion he was in was before when he left WWE was All Elite Wrestling. Now All Elite has a certain wrestling style where it's like my turn, your turn style. You know, where do some offense and you take turns taking offense because it's like it just seems so. Convoluted is the word for today, I think. Anyways, it starts with this. Andrade, he gets thrown right off the top rope. Massive superplex. Top rope superplex. That is one hell of a move. One hell of a move. And would knock someone out silly for at least a couple of seconds. But this did nothing to Andrade. He got stronger. He then gave... Apollo Crews, three suplexes back, one, two, and three. Like, wow, how about that? Now, also, Andrade brought a special weapon back to the WWE. It's Chris Jericho's spinning back elbow. Oh, that's right. I can't remember what it's called, but the spinning back elbow by Jericho is brought to you by Andrade. Besides, Andrade would say, hey, bing, bing, bop. I told him I don't know. That's the worst impression of anybody ever. Anyways, regardless of what Andre might have said to, or Jericho might have said to Andre, well, it doesn't matter. So he gives a back elbow to Apollo Crews, which pretty much ends it for Apollo Crews. No more back and forth. It is all Andrade. Mm-hmm. Then Apollo goes to, he ends up leaning against the bottom turnbuckle and then backing up for one hell of a move. It's Andrade. And he runs up and he charges from one corner to the other corner and he charges his nuts first. Into Apollo's face, his knees either side of his ears, and nuts in his face. My nuts to you, Apollo Crews. So yeah, it's unbelievable. After that, it was the finishing move. They call it. I'm not sure exactly what the full term of it was because Michael Cole was talking with marbles in his mouth. The Shadow something. The Shadow is called. And it's basically a double underhook DDT with a side Russian leg sweep. Okay, so moving up next, we go backstage. It is with Jackie Redmond, with Sami Zayn, and is the possibilities of him becoming a number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship match. Intercontinental Championship title, I should say. If he wins the six-man, gauntlet match. So here's the thing. Sami Zayn, he's tripping over his own tongue a bit there, but he believes there's a path for him to WrestleMania. And this one here, he says, this path for Sami Zayn. This is Sami Zayn's path. And of course, for Sami Zayn, it's not just any path. This path is do or die. So it's very serious that Sami Zayn has to get this opportunity to get the Intercontinental Championship belt. The Intercontinental Championship belt. And this, the star-studded event, so far it seems like only wrestlers that will only become an Intercontinental or United States champion. It seems like the glass ceiling for them is solid. It will never break. Anyway, so yeah, going for second place is Sami Zayn. And then before he can really get his, satisfaction, it's Valhalla and Ivar. And she believes that the better man is not in the challenge. She feels that her man, Ivar, should be in this, six-man gauntlet match. Because she feels that he can beat Gunther. And Sami Zayn's like, well, I think I can beat you, Ivar. So then that's it. It's going to be a match coming up. Looking good. Now, moving on, we've got some terrible news, not really terrible news, but some very sad, somber news. This is in memory of a fallen WWE superstar. It's Paul Vachon, a.k.a. Paul the Butcher Vachon, 1937 to 2024. Paul the Butcher Vachon. May he rest in peace. A lot of deaths in the WWE in this past month itself. Past 2 months. Regardless, moving on. We will miss thee. So we go backstage. It is a very interesting situation here. This is with Candice LeRae talking to Indy Hartwell. Now they're on a terrible losing streak. And Candice LeRae thinks they got a strike now. It's now or never. They got to do something. If they want to be tag team champions, they want to be champions. They got to start doing something. And then they're in the same room with Tegan Knox and Natalya Bret Hart. It's hilarious. And talking about condescending. It is Natalya. Oh my goodness, talking so condescendingly to Tegan Knox. Is she gaslighting the holy hell out of her? She's got some sort of nerve. But Candice LeRae took some knowledge from this one here. She brought some knowledge. Which I guess she was listening to the right things or something like that. But Candice LeRae's thinking, you know what? Candice is right. Candice is right. We got to forget our attitude, being nice people. We got to do what it takes. To win. And with that said, we got ourselves a team of Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri. Maxine Dupri giving old Candice LeRae, giving her old pep talk. You can do it. You can do it, Candice LeRae. You'll land on your feet because you're good enough. You're smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like you. No, she didn't really say that. But she was, she was trying to be the wind underneath the wings, but Candice LeRae just thought she was being patronizing. And she's like saying, who the heck are you? I don't need pity from someone who couldn't lace my boots. So yeah, we're probably going to see a match. Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell versus Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri. Now, if Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae lose this next match, whew, it could be terrible. Could be terrible for their future in the WWE in general. Because they need this win real bad. Because they've been doing nothing. They've been doing really nothing in the WWE. They lost their way. And after when she said that, oh, Maxine, she just looks like she's so shocked by that. She's gone pale. It's like three or shades of pale. Maxine, hearing that from Candice LeRae, like, oh, I never. Ooh, no, whoa. Her ego took a massive hit there. Anyways, moving to the ring. We got ourselves a tag team match. It is representing the Judgment Day is Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus Imperium's Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser. Now this one here, the tag ropes really don't matter. There's a couple of times tag ropes just don't even bother with it. But you know what? Imperium, when it comes down to the ring, it's very sacred to them. So you know, even though sometimes Giovanni, yeah, he did the tag without the ropes. So yeah, ropes really don't matter, even though sometimes they were. But you got to face it. They got to be used all the time or get rid of the ropes completely. Because I say if you got to get rid of the ropes, they should zone out the ring itself. Where this is where you got to stand, where you're going to get tagged. Otherwise, it doesn't count. It's, you know, it's laid out for you. Anyways, with that said, the match was a lot of fun. 14 and a half minutes, almost 15 minutes of this. Your referee of the match, it is, of course, Eddie Orengo. And let's get on. Now, of course, like I say, the match, the tags really don't matter. Ropes don't matter. Now, we got a match moment here where it was like almost like shocking. It could have been very disastrous for Finn Balor. Now, Finn Balor is on the ropes here. And he's supposed to get like hip tossed towards Giovanni Vinci. Now, when he doesn't get thrown far enough or high enough or something like that. Where Giovanni Vinci had to catch Finn Balor. Otherwise, he would have landed right on his head. You know, Ludwig Kaiser did not do a good throw. I'm blaming Ludwig for this one. Anyways, they move on. Finn Balor goes for a massive coup de grace onto Giovanni Vinci. But Ludwig breaks it up. Now, Ludwig then gets taken out by Damien Priest with a massive clothesline over the top rope. Oh, whammo! But here's the thing. Finn Balor, at the end of the match, Damian Priest says, you should fly now, you can fly. And then Finn Balor takes the top rope, and takes out Ludwig Kaiser with a massive tope suicida over the top rope, beautiful looking. You know, Damian Priest is holding down the top rope just in case he catches his balls on there. You know, Finn sneakers Balor, you know, he could have easily twisted his ankle wearing those sneakers like that. But anyways, in the ring, they fight on, they scuffle on. It's Giovanni and Damien Priest. Damien with a massive clothesline from old. It's like a jumping clothesline. It looks weird because he's. Anyways, he clears him with clothesline. And then one South of Heaven chokeslam later, he puts it away for the Imperium, which rank him low 70s in the WWE game, in their power rank. So, yeah, it is the. Judgment Day with a massive victory today. Now we go with some news. Apparently, Paul Heyman is going to the Hall of Fame 2024. That's right. And he's going to be celebrated at SmackDown in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. 1 week before the WrestleMania. Now moving on, we go backstage with Jackie Redmond with a few words with Drew McIntyre. You know, she says, you warned Seth Rollins about the bloodline. What do you think Seth Rollins listened to your warning? And it's like, no, of course not. Seth is a junkie. A sport-like junkie. This championship deserves better. It deserves me. And Jey Uso doesn't stand a chance. Not ever. Something like that. Anyways, moving on. We go backstage and it's with the... I guess Rhea Ripley giving a stern warning to Io Sky in Judgment Day.
You stay off my turf.
And What's that? EO was like, ha! Not really like that. Ha. Anyways, moving on. We go into match with the... this huge... This is this came close to be match of the night. This was very good. If it wasn't for the fact that, you know, Gunther and Dominic Mysterio tore it down, this would have been a match of the night. This is between Sami Zayn and... what's that? The Viking Raiders, Ivar. Now, with Viking Raiders, with Ivar, it is the he's accompanied the ring with the most curvaceous woman of all of Monday Night Raw. She is very feral and so very sexy. It's Valhalla. Now, Valhalla in this match here. Now, Michael Cole, he's like, oh, I can't believe she's wearing those Viking horns. Yabba-dabba-doo! So excited over that. Like, wow. Anyways, Valhalla comes down to the ring there and graces Michael Cole with her presence. She hops on top of the commentating table. And Michael Cole's like, the mood changes. He's all excited. Everybody's all excited. I am too, because Valhalla, damn it. She's hopped on a ring there. What a prize. What a present. And she takes off her horns and here you go. You can have these damn horns. You can have these damn antlers. They're now yours. So now she will never wear those damn antlers again. Michael Cole is wearing these antlers like a fool through the entire callings of this match. Now this match, however, this match itself was, like I said, was great. Rod Zapata, the referee, this match was about 10 and a half minutes, close to 11 minutes. This was a barn burner, knuckle duster, and all that such. Sami Zayn, one of the great architects in wrestling. Ivar, he's just... I'm a big fan of Ivar. He's a big man, and he knows how to move, and he knows how to wrestle. I think he can do a lot. I think this is a belt around his waist that is waiting for him. Anyways, Sami Zayn, massive, over-the-top, Tope Suicida, crushing Ivar. Ivar, later on in the match, Sami Zayn's outside of the ring. He's does a massive, swanton, just front flip bump on top of Sami Zayn. There's some big back and forth in this match. This was really good. Sami Zayn turns things around. Ivar goes for a suplex off the top rope. Sami Zayn spins out of it and gives him a high cross on the way down. Pretty impressive. Pretty damn impressive. Ivar turns things around again. He gives Sami Zayn one massive... Now, Ivar, a spinning heel kick from Ivar. Whew, it is so brutal looking. So goddamn brutal. Now, Sami Zayn, he attempted the old exploder suplex on Ivar. Now, Sami Zayn, his torso is about the same size as one of Ivar's legs. So Sami Zayn tried a couple of times with the exploder suplex on Ivar. And finally, third attempt, third time to charm, he gets Ivar with one massive exploder suplex. The Ivar turns things around one more time with a huge, huge ass, sit-down Santon. He was in the corner. Sami Zayn was going for a haluva kick, but he got hit with the Santon instead. Ivar, near the end of the match, he goes for his massive doom salt, moonsault off the top rope. Sami Zayn moves out of the way. Then hits Ivar with one massive kick. One hell of a kick, one might say. Or the haluva kick. And ends it for Ivar. This match was great. Great. Ivar losing this match, but losing with grace. Ivar looked like a hero. He looked great in this match. Sami Zayn looked great in this match. This match was great. I don't know if you noticed this, but I thought this match was great. Now, after that, it's Ivar and the very sexy Valhalla. They take a powder. And inside the ring is Bronson Reed, involved with this, big old gauntlet match. He comes in the ring there, and he starts taking out. He takes out Sami Zayn, runs into him. And then, off the top, one hell of a tsunami just squashes Sami Zayn like a soul. And speak of such, we go backstage with Jackie Redmond with some, Kathy Kelly with some Gunther and his opinion on Dominic Mysterio. Now, Gunther, he talks about how Dominic Mysterio, he talked a big talk, but he also stepped up. But, the outcome was not surprising to Gunther and not surprising to anybody. Gunther retaining his championship gold. So what about what is the feeling about this six-man gauntlet match? Why, Gunther feels honored that such great competitors are chosen in this big match. But it does not matter. When it comes down to it, Gunther will squash them big time. And then with that said, we got ourselves a little bit of a Chad Gabla. Rhymes with tabla. Chad Gabla comes to ring there. After the ring comes down to the side there. And he starts talking. And I figured, it's like, I bet any money Chad Gable's going to bring his daughter up his clout once again. The fans are booing Chad Gable because they know he's going to bring up his stupid daughter. But she's all adorable. She's not really stupid. I'm just saying stupid because she should never bring up family as clout. Anyways, he does. You made my daughter cry. You made her cry. And this is how the ego of Chad Gable. This is the thing is. Now, he feels that in this match, this is the other people's match. Other people's just, it's just the other people's path to get to for the number one contendership. You know, that's basically it for the other people. But for him, for Chad Gable, this is, it's to redeem his, for redemption. This is for his redemption for Chad Gable. Now, Sami Zayn said this match here is do or die. So he's basically diminishing Sami Zayn's little road to redemption as well. Anyways, Chad Gable, he wants to take two things from Gunther. His Intercontinental Championship title and his smile. Because he stole his daughter's smile. Wonk, 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 wonk. And then backstage, we got ourselves the, I guess it's official. It's official. It is, of course, Xavier Woods back there. When The Miz, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, R-Truth. They officially called Regeneration X. And they want the Judgment Day's Tag Team Championship titles. And I'm thinking, is it going to be the, a DIY team where it's going to be Miz and The Unfortunate Truth? Anyway, speaking of Unfortunate Truth, not really. We got ourselves the main event match of the night. It is Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre. They got into it, and now they're literally getting into it. This match was about under 17 minutes. A lot back and forth. This was a good match. Jey main event, Jey Uso. I love cheese mousse with my French bread. Cheese mousse. With my French bread, cheese mousse. With my French bread, when I fill my belly up, I think I'll just go to bed. That's right. Oh, love Jey Uso's entrance music and his dance he does. It's great. Oh, and Pat McAfee gets right into it too. He loves it. He loves it. Anyways, refereeing this match is Chad Patton. Now this match goes outside many times, like three times outside the ring there. Two times they go to commercial break, so they're fighting outside a lot. Chad Patton doesn't give two farts how long they fight out there, because it doesn't matter. So they fight outside a couple of times. What's that? Another time they're fighting out there, Michael Cole sets the little monitors inside there down so it doesn't get crushed. But it's Drew McIntyre gives a suplex outside the ring to... Jey Uso, not on top of the commentating table. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. They take, like I say, three times outside the ring. Drew McIntyre uses, one time out there, uses Jey Uso as a battering ram, smashing him against the barricades and the ring itself, the ring apron. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso turns things around, too. He gets the old butt bump against the Umaga bump, tribute to Umaga. Now, eventually in the ring there, we got ourselves a little bit of trouble. Jey Uso goes for a big move on top of the ropes there for his big Uso splash. But he finds that Solo Sikoa decides to pop out through the audience, spending some time for, Jey gets distracted for a little bit. That leaves Drew McIntyre. He gets his win back, turns things around for a short bit. And then it's... Ba-dunk, ba-da-dun, ba-da-dun, ba-da-dun. I got a rumbling in my bowels, and I think I'm gonna blow. It's Cody Rhodes. Runs down to the ring there, and he takes out some Solo Sikoa. So things are back to even again. Even Steven in the ring. Jey Uso has a super kick party, and Drew McIntyre is invited. Many times, three times in a row. And then with a massive spear right to the face. right to the chest. And after he did the big old spear, it's Jimmy Uso comes down to the ringside and outside the crowd there, and that's Jay's like, that's it. Oh, you had enough of you. And then he turns around to deal with Drew McIntyre, where he gets massive Claymore kick to the face. Whammo! And after that, oh my goodness, Seth Rollins says, that's it. Enough's enough. And he charges that damn ring. He just walks right past Drew McIntyre. Ugh, I don't want anyone looking at you. I'm not going to even bother. He takes out some Jey Uso, or some Jimmy Uso, helping Jey Uso. And then, before you even know it, Drew McIntyre is back in the ring there with one massive Claymore kick to Seth Rollins, and then giving him a what's what. Hey, you better stick your nose out of the other people's business. Otherwise, a Drew McIntyre will Claymore kick you in the face. Maybe he might say, not say that. Most of it was true. Anyways, gives a warning to Seth Rollins, and he's going to see him at WrestleMania. Anyways, that does wrap up the show, wrap up another episode of Raw for this week. Now, if you stuck around to the very end of this episode, I hold a very special place in my heart just for you, my friend. Now, stay tuned, because we're going to have for another episode. Yeah, that's it for today, but we'll be back for another episode another time. I've been your host, Dave Hazelwood, saying, don't forget to like and subscribe.